And it's all about Him. It's not about us. And I thank God that in Him we have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What, abundant life in heaven? No, we're going to have abundant life in heaven. He means in this earth, in this very present earth. Amen. He made us more than conquerors. Amen. In this earth. Amen. And you know, we're going to have enemies, but guess what? We're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We overcome through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. We're overcomers in this life. Amen. We walk in victory in this life. Amen. We're not in the sweet by and by. Now we walk in dominion. Amen. We walk in authority. Amen. And He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Praise God. So we are victors in Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I just thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for all of you. You know, the thing is, one thing about it, when you're excited about something, that excitement, it radiates from the inside out. And people see that. You know, I thank God that I'm excited about Mayhole Ministries. Amen. I drug my feet for a long time, not obeying the Lord. But now I say, Lord, I want to obey your will. And what God puts in your heart, He puts a vision in your heart that's bigger than you. Amen. It's bigger than you. Amen. But it's about souls. Souls will live for eternity when we want to see other people and our spirit of influence come to the Lord. That's why I thank Josh for bringing Stu. Yo, Hugh. We're bringing Hugh. Yes, he's one of your co-workers. He's one of your co-workers, right? Yeah. But Hugh. And also I thank God for Carrie. I thank God for Junior. I thank God for you know, each and every one of us. And even I'm in my workplace, guess what? They already know I'm a Christian. So I can't hide. They already know I'm a Christian. I named the name of Christ. So guess what? I might as well go ahead and be open and bold about my confession of faith. Amen. And then when people want to know why I'm so happy, when everybody else is pulling out their hair and frustrated and clenching the fist at heaven, guess what? I'm going to tell you why I'm so happy. Why I'm so happy. See, my happiness does not depend on circumstances. My happiness comes from the inside out. And I know whose I am. Because of that, I have to continue. There's a difference between happiness and joy. I have joy in Jesus. Amen. Joy in Jesus. So every opportunity that you can, be Jesus to other people. Amen. The Bible says we're written epistles, read of men. Sometimes they're not going to be able to come to church, even though you invite them to church. But they'll watch you. Be Jesus unto them. And everything you do in character and talk and in your walk, everything you do. And you know what? How people treat you does not determine how you treat them. How people treat you does not determine how you treat them. So guess what? We walk by a higher calling. We walk by a higher calling. We always take the high road. We always take the high road. You know why we take the high road? Because Jesus said, if you love if you love those that love you, you know better than the sinners, the Republicans. They do that. They give to those that give to them. They love those that love them. But those that cross them, man, they got something for you. But see, that's not in the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God doesn't operate by the world system. The world says tit for tat, an eye for an eye. And that's an Old Testament. But God says forgive. Forgive those. Love the undeserving, the ungrateful, the unthankful, those that don't even like you. Guess what? That's that person that does not like you. That's flesh and blood. But our battle is not, or a wrestling match is not against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual witness and evil forces in heavenly places. So guess what? That person that's guided by that spirit, and it's that spirit on the inside of them that does not like you. It tries to mess up your day. So what you do, you love them into the kingdom. You love them in the kingdom. There's no weapon formed against love that can prosper against love. You love them. You give them what they don't deserve. And the Bible says we heap coals upon their head. So what happened is, but then we don't leave them there. What we do, we pray for them. We pray for those that despitefully use us. Are we in the kingdom of God? Amen. So guess what? Everything in the kingdom of God obeys their king. Amen? King has authority over his subjects. And guess what? We're his subjects. We're his ambassadors. So our king commands us to love. He said, somebody came up and said, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? He said, well, I tell you what the greatest commandment. Which one of those 10 commandments or those 631 commandments in the Old Testament, which one of those are the greatest one? And he said, I'll tell you. He said, I'll tell you what the greatest commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all the heart, with all the mind, and all the soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as you love yourself, guess what? You're going to give him grace that he doesn't deserve, that she doesn't deserve. So when we love them as we love ourselves, then what's happened, they're going to sense that love, and that love is what's going to win them over to the kingdom of God. Amen? So praise God. We're kingdom. We're kingdom people. Amen? And we obey our king. Now, in America, we don't have a king. We have a president. So a lot of us don't understand that. But you go to a country that has a king, that has a monarch, has a king and a queen. Now you went to this country that actually has a king. Barbados, right? Not Barbados, but Bahamas, right? Now they actually have a king. They understand about a king and authority. So they understand kingdom authority. But in America, we say, nobody rules me. You know, this is democracy, you know, but guess what? In a kingdom, the king has ultimate rule, ultimate power. With the king's decree, you can lose your life. If you walked into the king's presence without him beckoning you there, you know what? It could cost you your life. Esther had to be purified for over a year before she was fit to go into the king's presence. But then before she could enter into his presence and have audience with the king, he had to beckon her and tell her to come. So that's the power that a king had, absolute authority. But thank God for Jesus, thank God for grace. And because of grace, a lot of times we as Christians, we walk over the love of God. And we just brashly and boldly walk into his presence, but not even really preparing ourselves. But we see in the Old Testament, when the priest ministered before the people, and he had to go into the temple once a year and make sacrifices for the people's sins. But they said that was the old covenant. He had to continually do that. But Jesus Christ entered and did it once and for all. So guess what? He ever lived to make intercession for us. And because of that, Hebrews tell us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, right? Boldly to the throne of grace. How many need grace? I need grace, amen. I need grace every day. But it says we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace and help in time of need. And so, I'm a needy person. I need Jesus, amen. And I thank God for Jesus. And I thank God that he's ever lived to make intercession for me. He's a high priest. He's my high priest, and he ever lived to make intercession for me. And because of that, I can come boldly to the throne of grace because I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus, amen. And because of that, a lot of American Christians have got relaxed, and they don't understand the authority that the king has. But praise God. And you know one thing about it? Jesus said, I'm not going to call you servants. I'll call you friends. So guess what? He called us kings and priests as well. So guess what? We can decree a thing. We can decree a thing and it shall be so. And Job just talked about decreeing a thing and it shall be so, establishing a thing in this earth. So what happens is, We're commanding communicators. And today we're going to be talking about that. Say this. Say, I'm a commanding communicator. Now, what does that mean? If we go to the book of Samuel, when Hannah didn't have a child, and she went to the temple and prayed and asked God to open up her womb so she could have a child, because in the Old Testament, when a woman did not have a child, she was in reproach. Because every man wanted to have a son. He wanted to have a daughter. He wanted to have a family to carry on his legacy. But if he had a son, his legacy would be carried on through the son's name. Every man wanted a son. She wanted to give her husband a son, right? She wanted to give her husband a son. So what happened is she didn't have any children. Her womb was closed, and she prayed in the chapel, and Eli saw her. He thought she was drunk. But she didn't get offended when he said, no, I'm not, prayed, but her lips moved, but that was it. And so she didn't get offended when Eli, the man of God, came and said, you're drunken. He said, oh no. And then she told him what was happening. He said, you're going to have a child. So what she did when she had a child, she said, I'll lend him to the Lord if you'll give me a child. And just like Eli, the man of God, said, she had a child. The child's name was Samuel. So she lent him to the Lord, and she kept him until he was weaned, and then she brought him to the temple and gave him to the man of God and said, I'm giving this child to the Lord like I kept my promise. And the Bible says that Eli was so in tune with the word of God that when he spoke, God would not let any of his words fall to the ground. Isn't that powerful? But guess what? In the Old Testament, that was a law. The Bible says we have a better covenant through Jesus Christ. Guess what? Those people were spiritually dead. Then their sins were forgiven. They were imputed to them for righteousness because they were looking to the future till Jesus came back. And the Bible says Abraham was declared righteous because of his faith in Jesus Christ in the future. But they were spiritually dead. They were spiritually dead. Guess what? We have a better covenant. Why do we have a better covenant? Because Jesus Christ lived big on the inside of us. Amen? We don't have to wait until the Spirit of God comes upon us. But guess what? The Spirit of God is resident on the inside of us. So we have a better covenant with better promises. And because of that, we're commanding communicators. When God wanted the world in Genesis, you know how God created the world? What did he do? What did he do before a world? He had a thought in his mind that he wanted a world to be inhabited with people made in his image. And then guess how he caused that to happen? He spoke. He spoke. He had an idea. He had a thought. Then he spoke it into existence. He said, light be, and that would light be, the light appeared. Now guess what? If you go to Genesis 1, you'll find out that there was a bridge or a chasm between the time when God created the earth and then when the Bible said, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. We're not going to get in that today, but basically Satan was cast out from heaven and he tried to destroy the earth. He tried to dwarf God's plan. And so what happened was God, all those things that be not as though they were, and then he said, light be. He created the earth, and so were to be inhabited by man. Now, so when God framed a world, when God wanted a world, he framed the world by the words that he spoke. Hebrews, let's turn to Hebrews 11 chapter. And we're going to see how God framed the world. Now guess what? We're commanding communicators. We're commanding communicators. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. But he told his disciples before he left, he said, it's expedient that I go away, because if I don't come away, the comforter won't come. So he left us in charge. Jesus left us in charge. We're commanding communicate. Now what happened is Adam lost dominion to the world when he sinned, didn't he? But guess what? Jesus came and brought the dominion back. And he gave it to us. He gave it to us. You know what? God is depending on his plan of salvation and restoration to the world be carried out through us. You know what, God? He could have made loudspeakers come from heaven saying, I am the God, the Lord God Almighty, serve me or you go to hell. You know, he could have said anything. Or he could have dispatched angels to go and preach the gospel, but that's not his plan. His plan was that we that are saved and tasted of his goodness and tasted of his salvation to go and tell somebody else about it. Now and that's God's plan of redemption. So he wants to, in the kingdom of God, it works by multiplication. It works by multiplication. In the kingdom of darkness, it works by division. The devil's modus operandi is to do this, to steal, kill, and destroy. Everything he touched dies. It's death, destruction. But in the kingdom of God, there's life. is life. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So let's go to Hebrews 11 chapter and find out how God framed the earth. How God framed the earth. The Bible says that Jesus Christ made the earth, and without him, nothing was made. So Hebrews 11 chapter. And the third verse, it says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The words of God. The word of God. So that things which are seen were made of things which do appear. So what happened is, God spoke the word, and he framed the world and brought the world into existence by his word. So guess what? The enemy doesn't have any new tricks. Enemy is a defeated foe. Say, greater is he that is in me, Jesus, than he that is in the world, Slewfoot. Okay, so we have more power. Say, I have more power than the devil. In fact, the devil is a defeated foe. So guess what? He's already lost. So guess what? He's like a toothless lion. He's like a dog without a tooth, but all he got is a bark. He's like a toothless lion that's just got a roar. He can't bite you. It's like the shadow of death in Psalms 23. A shadow. Has a shadow ever killed anybody? No, but it's a shadow. It's a shadow. But he's like a bully. If you challenge a bully, guess what the bully's gonna do? He's gonna fold. He's going to back down and fold. So the devil is a tyrant. He'll try to make you think that he has authority. He has no authority over a child of God. You know why the devil has victory over people that call the name of Christ? Because they give it to him. They give it to him. We give the devil authority over our lives when we're supposed to be more than a conqueror. You know how we give him authority? We start saying the facts or the reality in our life. Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but if that was all, we can just close the book and just have a pity party until Jesus come back. But guess what? It didn't end there. It says, but he delivers them out of them all. So all of the trials and tribulations that come to us, guess what? They're going to come to us, okay? Now we do a sinner that doesn't know Jesus Christ at this service when we say, come to Jesus, you have no more problem. No. When you come to Jesus, all hell's going to break out. Because you were in the kingdom of darkness, and now you're in the kingdom of God. You've been translated into the kingdom of God. So the devil is mad, and he doesn't want you to be fruitful, so he's going to try to take you out, and he's going to try to keep you from being fruitful where you'll bear fruit. So what he'll do, he'll try to trip you up and trap you up and try to set you down. But guess what? He has no power over a child of God when we know who we are. Amen? So what we do, we have to give him dominion over us. We have to give the devil dominion over us. How do we do it? By our mouth. By stuff that comes out of our mouth. Well, I applied for that job, but they didn't hire me. I guess I'm stuck here till Jesus comes. You know, I'm stuck. I'll never accomplish nothing. Guess what you did? Guess what you did? You violated spiritual law. You put spiritual law into activation by speaking your words. Your word framed the world that you live in now. If you don't like where you are now, change your words. Change your thoughts. Your thought comes into your mind, into your heart, and then you speak it out. You speak it out. That frames your world. We're commanding communicators. We're not like a sinner. A sinner, he can say all kind of foolish stuff and basically, it's not going to have the power that we do because we're commanding communicators. When we speak, the book of James says that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much power in the earth. That's amplified. So guess what? When we speak, we're just like Samuel. When we speak the word of God with power and authority, guess what? It causes things to happen. We call those things that be not as though they are. So guess what? The dreams that you have, the desires you have in your heart, you gotta speak those things out. And then you got to go and tell Josh. Then you got to go tell Mama Hicks. You got to go tell Carrie. You got to tell Junior. You got to tell everybody that will listen to you the dreams that you have. And you got to say, this is what's going to happen. I'm a child of the Most High God. And it's in my heart. And I know that's not going to happen unless God caused it to happen. So I'm just telling you this so you can get an agreement with me. And guess what? They will maybe be able to come into contact with somebody that you don't even know is able to make your dream come to the next level. But if you don't speak it out of your mouth, it's never going to happen. You know what? We're our worst enemy. The devil's a defeated foe. The devil has no power over us. We give him power. We give him power by the words we speak. Well, I never have enough money to make it to the end of the month. I'm always broke. Lord, I'm always broke, Lord. Guess what? You just told the ministering angels that are assigned to you that they have to sit down and they have to let the devil come in and take your finances. Your transmission gonna break down. You're gonna have to get a new transmission because you activated spiritual law to the negative. You activated spiritual law. God would have to violate his word to bless you. So guess what? David said this, Lord, put a guard over my mouth. Put a guard over my mouth that I might not sin against you. So guess what? We got to make sure that every thought that comes to you, you don't have to speak it out. Every thought does not come from God. Every thought that comes to you, Kenneth Hagin said that somebody came to him and said, Kenneth, he said, prophet or pastor, you know, come and pray for me that no evil thought will come into my mind, come into my head. And he said, well, if I could pray that prayer for you, I'd pray it for myself. But he said, if a bird wants to build a nest in your head, you don't have to stand there still and let them build it. You flap them away and tell them to get out. You know, you're not going to stand there. And it's just like the devil when he tries to put an ungodly thought in your head. You don't have to take that thought. You cast it down. Every imagination, high thing that exalts itself above and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So thoughts are going to come to all of us. Thoughts, ugly thoughts come to Billy Graham. Ugly thoughts come to TDJ. But they don't take no thought. If the thought is not in according to Philippians 4:8, let's go to Philippians 4:8. Every thought that comes to us, if it doesn't line up with Philippians 4:8, we don't take that thought. We don't take that thought. Just ask somebody, is this thought going to bless somebody? Is it going to bless me? Or is it going to help somebody? Or is it going to be a selfish thought that just going to satisfy me or benefit me? Well, guess what? That's easy. If the thought doesn't glorify God, we don't receive that thought. Philippians 4:4-8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, the word of God is true. The word of God is truth, right? Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. So that's the kind of thoughts that we're going to hold. We're going to hold, and then we're going to let them come out of our mouth. And when it's a God thought, we're going to go ahead and speak that thing. I have a thought, see, that I'm a motivational speaker. Now, I know the devil didn't give me that thought because I want to help people. The devil don't want to help people. We already know that he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So that thought that I want to be a motivational speaker so I can have an audience and a platform to help other people less fortunate than me, that's a God thought. So guess what? I'm going to tell that to Josh. Josh, I'm a motivational speaker. I didn't know Josh was the principal of a school. So guess what? He sees me. He sees the fire, the passion in my heart. And you know, it's on the inside, something on the inside that God birthed. And he see it coming out when I speak about it. He can say, young man, I see something in you, man. You got to come and talk to my school. And see, I didn't even know he was a principal. I didn't know he was a principal. But see, because I communicate that to him and I speak that, I frame my world. And I cause opportunities to come. But if I just sit there and say, well, I thought God told me I was a motivational speaker, but ain't nobody called me. So I just cry. No. But what you do, you call those things that be not as though they are. You frame your world by the words you speak. You know, a lot of times confession has been given a negative rap. And I'll say, because meditation and religions and things like that, they meditate, they say mantras over and over again and everything like that. But actually, there's a positive side of confession. A lot of times when we as believers, even when we think about confession, we think about confessing our sins. And we should. When we miss it, we should. 1 John 1:9 says, and that's written to believers, right? It says when we sin, we need to confess our faults. We need to confess our faults. And why? And why? Because Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, cleanses from all unrighteousness. But we gotta renew our fellowship back to the Father. Amen. When we're in sin, we're out of fellowship with God. So this Holy Spirit is quick to convict us and not to condemn us, but so we can get that thing right. And then we get our fellowship restored back to the Father. So guess what? The thing is, what were we talking about? Oh yeah, there's a positive side of confession. But a lot of times as believers, we all think about the negative side of confessing our sin. Well, you should do that. When we sin, we should do that. But guess what? There's a positive side of confession. Positive side of confession is confessing what God's word says about us. Find out the promises in God's word, what God says about us, and we gotta confess those. And we gotta confess those, and we're not gonna let any negative thought come out of our mouth. My car could be on four blocks and no engine, but I'm gonna confess, God, you supplied my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and I have transportation to do your work, and I need a good car. So God, I thank you that you're going to put tires on those, on all four tires, good tires on my car. You're going to put a good engine in there so I can do your work. And that's what you're going to confess. You're not going to confess the reality of the situation. You're going to confess what God says about you. And so what happened is when you do that, you give your angels, the Bible says the angels are been given to us that are heirs of salvation. And guess what? You know, Mom used to like Star Trek. She's like Star Trek and watch. She would watch those Star Trek episodes over and over and over again. Guess what? When I watch it one time, I already know what's going to happen. I ain't going to watch it again, you know. But she'd be watching it over and over again, just like the first time. But she was just an enthusiast. She liked Star Trek. But you know what? What I got by watching Star Trek with her? Because I go in the TV's always on Star Trek. So I got to watch it if I want to be with her, right? So I'm watching Star Trek, spending time with her. Guess what? But I would like this guy, the one of Star Trek leader, that when he was a captain, and he would go up to his number one, make it so. And so he'd tell him, make it so. Luke Picard. He'd say, make it so, number one. He'd say, and then it was like poetic. It was music. But guess what? That's how we do. That's how we do our angels. When we speak the word of God in power and authority and belief, we make our angels. Make it so, angel, number one. and they say, oh, okay, I finally got something that lines up with the word of God that I can do. And they'll go and make it happen. They'll cause the resources. They'll cause the people, the ability that have the ability to make your dream come to reality, come into your life. And see, so we got to give our angels something to say. Now, so Hebrews 11:3, we know that we frame the world. We know that the world was framed by the word of God. God had a thought, and then he spoke it out of his mouth, and it became the earth. Amen? He became the earth. He became the world. So before we release the ability of Satan in our life, we got to ask ourselves, whose thought is this? Is this God's thought, or is it the enemy's thought? And if it's the enemy's thought, we cast it aside. Now, we already know forever that God's word is settled in heaven, right? Psalms 119:89. Let's turn to that. Psalms 119:89. Now, God's word is established in heaven. And Jesus said, he said, not one word of God is void of power. Not one word of God is void of power. So we know forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So the word of God, once God speaks the word, is settled in heaven. It shall come to pass. You know, Jesus said that in order for Jesus to come into the earth, words had to be spoken by the prophets to authorize Jesus coming to the heaven, coming to the earth realm. Did you know that? The prophets had to speak his existence into the earth. And they heard the word of God, and they spoke the word of God in faith. And they prophesied Jesus coming into the earth. But guess what? If Mary had never said, agreed with Jesus, you know, his interest in the world, earth realm would have been delayed. But Mary said, she was a virgin. And Mary said, when the angel Gabriel told her that she was going to be with child from the Holy Spirit and that she was going to be the son, the son of God was going to come through her in the earth through her. You know what she said? She didn't debate. She didn't say, well, how can this be? And, you know, since I don't know man, but she said, you know what she said? Be it unto me according to your word. She authorized Jesus to come into the earth. And so what happened is words have to be spoken. And guess what? You have to speak words. There was a pastor in Korea, Pastor Paul Lee Cho. He was a young pastor, and he wanted a 10-speed bicycle. But he was very specific about the type of bicycle he wanted. And he told God, God, I want this type of bicycle. Now, it didn't exist in the Korean economy right then, you know, that bicycle and everything. But what, it was a third world country back then. And what happened is, but he wanted a bicycle that it was only made in America or Switzerland or somewhere like that. He wanted a specific, and he told God about it. And he told his other pastor friends about it, and they laughed. They laughed. They said, where's your, Pastor Cho, where's your bicycle? He said, it's in here. It's in here. And they just laughed him. They just laughed him. He was a laughing stock of the community. But guess what? There was a colonel, full-blooded colonel, getting ready to go back to the States, and he needed somebody to help him get packed up because he was on deployment, whatever, his wife needed help. So he applied for this job at this agency, and they said, well, this is just a one-day assignment. And it was to go and help that colonel get his stuff packed so he can go back to the States. So guess what? When they got through packing everything and putting everything in the trunk, in the truck to go back to state, he had overload of stuff that he's authorized to carry. So some of the stuff he couldn't take with him. So he decided, so I can't take this, I can't take this. And then he said, well, I'll just give this away to somebody. And guess what? One of the things that he couldn't take back was what? That 10-speed bicycle that Pastor Cho wanted. And he asked me, say, well, you can have this. Guess what? He spoke that bicycle into the natural world. It was in the spiritual world first when he confessed it. He called those things that be not as though they were. And even when his pastor friends laughed him to ridiculed him and just laughed him and thought he was just a fool, he stayed the course, said, God put this in my heart. God is going to cause it to manifest. So it materialized in the spirit world first, and then it manifested in the natural world because of his faith. He spoke into existence. So we're commanding communicators. Every one of us that are Christians, we're commanding communicators. Our words carry weight. Say, my words carry weight. I can do what God did. God called those things that be not as though they were. God said that Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus at that time had not even appeared in the flesh. But God called those things that be not as though they are. So I'm gonna be like my daddy. He's a good daddy. I'm going to imitate him. I'm going to call those things that pertain to me, that are in my spirit. I'm inside my belly. I'm going to call them out into existence. I'm going to frame my world. That degree that I want, it's mine. That gym that I want, it's mine. That studio that I want is mine. That business I want is mine. That graphic design, those customers, They're mine.
They're mine.
I call them into existence now. I call those things that be not as though they were. The building that I need to worship you and to have church. I call it into existence now.
I call those things
that be not
as though they were.
The words that I speak,
they are full of power.
They are full of might.
They're creative.
Like my daddy.
Like my daddy.
I'm framing the world
that I want.
Now.
By the spoken word.
And I thank you, Father.
That I can have.
What I say. And I say what you say about me. And I'm more than a conqueror. You give me not only my wants. But desires of my heart. And I thank you, Father, for the manifestation of it, even now, in Jesus' name. Get a long hand clap. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's have a praise break. Let's praise God. Let's praise God for now, the manifestation of it now, even now. Let's thank Him for it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hey, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 We worship you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. Thank 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 you, Lord. Oh, Lord, to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's go to Matthew, the 16th chapter. You know, God is a good God. And you know what? God has already given us the keys to the kingdom. He's not giving us the keys to the kingdom, but He's giving us the keys of the kingdom. Praise God. Of the kingdom. Of the kingdom. Praise God. Now how do we, what are the keys to the kingdom? Let's go to Matthew 16 chapter and let's find out what they are. Matthew 16 chapter, the 19th verse. And if you have a Bible like mine, it's probably in red writing. I don't know. But the thing is, it says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So guess what? It says, whatsoever we shall bind on earth, things that we're going to bind are anything that's contrary to the word of God. And we're going to bind them in earth, and they shall be bound in heaven. Remember we said that the words that we speak, the things that we want from God, they materialize first in the spirit world. But then we on this earthly realm, in this earthly realm, we speak those things into existence. And it says, so whatsoever thou shalt loose on heaven, things that we loose on heaven, finances, whatever we want, it should be loose in heaven. So those are the keys of the kingdom that they've given all of us as believers. Amen. So I want you to get a revelation of this. It didn't say that key to the kingdom, but it says keys of the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of God. Bible says this. The kingdom of God is awesome. Amen. The kingdom of God is awesome. And they said the violent take it by force. So guess what? We have an enemy of our soul. So we gotta take it by force. We gotta call those things that be not as though they were. We're not fighting with God. We're fighting with those forces that are trying to stop us from getting what God told us that we could have. Daniel prayed for a revelation. But his revelation did not come for 21 days. Was it because God didn't love him? No. But he had an enemy, the prince of Persia, that withstood him for 21 days. And Michael, the archangel, had to go and wrestle with him, and then he got his breakthrough after 21 days. So we do have an enemy to the promise of God, amen? So what he'll try to do, he'll try to get us to sabotage our own destiny by speaking his words. Well, you know, my family never had much. I guess I'll never have much either. No one's ever loved me. So I guess I'll just be a bachelor all my life. Nobody loves me, and I'm just a worthless old worm. Will you find that in the Word of God? Anything that I just said, will you find that written in the Word of God about a child of God? No. Those are the enemy's words. They're lies. They're lies from the enemy. But guess what? When the enemy brings those thoughts to us, we refuse that. I'm gonna tell you, I was in the army, and I was an E6. I wanted to become a warrant officer. You know how God caused me to be a warrant officer? He caused Bishop Martin, who was a warrant officer also, to be in a position where the guy that makes warrant officers, the guy that was in charge of our branch, he came down to Fort Gordon, and Bishop Martin found that he was there. Now that's the guy that approved all the applications that you sent to the Department of Army saying I want to be approved as a warrant officer. So guess what he said? This guy's in town. You know what he told us to do? Go downtown. He said he called us and said he's at the personnel office. Go down and get some time off work. Go down and meet him. We went there and met him. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, I put my application in, and when I went before the board, I prayed before the board that I would have supernatural favor. Remember Tony? We prayed together. And I prayed that I would have supernatural favor when I went before the board. So the packet had been approved and everything, and I had to go down to the local board. And when I got into the board, instead of asking me hard technical questions, you know what they did? There was a infantry armor commander, infantry guy on the board that was a colonel, and he asked me a question. Now I had a warrant officer. But the colonel asked me, he was the president of the board, he asked me a question. You know what he asked me? Well, boy, you know, he was a good old boy. He said, well, you know, Sergeant Hicks, you know, I used to live in Columbus, and, you know, we used to go fish there. You've been fishing in, you follow Alabama? I say, yes, sir. Yeah, they got good fishing out there and everything. He said, yeah. He said, they got bass there. And I said, yeah. He said, okay. And then we started talking about fishing. Now, he's going for the board. This determines whether I'm going to be a warrant officer. He didn't ask me any technical question. He just asked me, and he basically gave me a stamp of approval. Okay, well, Sergeant, I think you're good to go. That's all he said. No technical question at all. So then the other people that asked me some questions, and they weren't going to buck the colonel, so they just asked me another easy question too. They had nothing to do with me being a warrant officer, with my technical competency. And then when the warrant officer, who was a technical expert to determine whether I was going to be a warrant officer, he asked me a simple little old question. Something about Ohm's Law. Well, you know, what is Ohm's Law? Well, guess what? If you're a kindergartner, you know what Ohm's Law is. And so I just gave him the definition of Ohm's Law. And that was it. And then he said, well, sir, he's good to go with me. And guess what? The guy called Cecilia when I was at school and told her that, Mr. Riley, he told her, he said, tell Sergeant Hicks to go buy some warrant officer bars. In fact, he told you to go to the clothing store and get them and then surprise me. And when I come home now and have the warrant officer bar, he said, because he's going to be a warrant officer. I'm approving it. I'm going to send him his orders. I'm going to send the orders right to your house. But he said, act like he don't know that he got them. And then when they officially come down the chain, then just be surprised. But see, I call those things that be not as though they were. When I went before the board, one of the brothers, my brothers in the Lord, we were in the car together and we prayed and we for supernatural uncommon favor. When I got down and sat before the board, I was so at peace. I knew it was mine. And they didn't ask me any hard technical question that would trap me up. And when a good old boy colonel liked me and started talking about fishing, and then I knew about fishing, oh, I was in then. But God did that. God did that. God did that. He gave me desires of my heart. I wanted to be a warrant officer, but I didn't negate my destiny by speaking the devil's words. Well, nobody in my family's ever been a warrant officer. You know, my dad was a sergeant and he wanted to be a warrant officer, but they didn't approve him because he wouldn't go buy the sergeant major drinks at the club, and so they didn't approve him a warrant officer. But really, that's the reason why he didn't become a warrant officer, because the sergeant major wanted my dad to go to the club and buy him some drinks. And my dad said, I got a family. I can't buy you no drinks, Sergeant Major. So guess what? Sergeant Major didn't recommend him to be a warrant officer, so he didn't. But see, you know what I'm saying? That's foolishness, but that's how it worked. My dad had applied for a warrant officer, but he never made a warrant officer. So I could have said, well, my dad didn't make it. I ain't going to make it. Nobody in my family's made it. No, I didn't say that. I say, God, that's the desire of my heart. I want this. And so God gave it. And so, but I had to speak, I had to get in agreement with God's words. Amen. If I got in agreement with the enemy's words, I would have never been, had the experience of being a warrant officer. Amen. So you got to say, you got to realize that what you have right now is, if you examine the words that you said in the past, it was a result of words that you've spoken in the past. So the biggest enemy that we have is not the devil. He's a defeated foe. But you know what a bigger enemy is? That person that we see every morning when we get up and, I was going to say shave, but some of us don't shave. But, just brush our teeth. Brush our teeth. So it's the man in the mirror, like Michael Jackson said, the man in the mirror. So guess what? Sometimes we're our worst enemy. But what we start doing, we start sabotaging our own destiny by not speaking the word of God, what the word of God says about us. 1 John 5:4, it says that this is victory to overcome the world, even our faith. Now, when we are in Christ, we have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 1 John 4:4. Great is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm more than a conqueror. And I overcome him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and the word of my testimony. So the words that I'm going to speak from now on forth, from this day forth, I'm going to put a guard over my mouth that I won't sin, that I won't abort my destiny that God has given me, but I'll speak only what the word says about me. You know, there's a saying that says, practice makes perfect, but that's not really true. You know what's true? Perfect practice makes perfect. Perfect practice. So you gotta continue to practice what God says about you. You gotta be disciplined. You gotta be disciplined. A lot of times, opportunity is gonna come for you to negate your own destiny, and you gotta say, no, I'm not gonna say that. It's all odds against everything that's telling you the difference. You're gonna say, no, that is not my destiny. That is not my destiny. My destiny is this. I've sown good seeds into the kingdom of God's soil, so guess what? I have a good harvest. I confess right now that my church should be full of spiritually mature believers that are faithful people that love God, because I've been faithful to the man of God that I've served over all these years. And guess what? That's my harvest. I call it in the earth right now. I call it in the earth right now. I call it in the earth right now. That is my harvest. That's my destiny. Praise God. So that's what you gotta say. You can't say what it looks like now. You gotta say what you want to come to pass. And if it's in alignment with God's word, all heaven is in the league with you to make it come to pass. So praise God. Praise God. And this is what we're going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about how do we frame our world. Then we'll give you some strategies on how we can frame our world. And we're going to do this intentionally, deliberately. We're going to do it intentionally, deliberately. Now guess what? It's going to cause us to be challenged to do stuff that we haven't did before. What I'm going to challenge each and every one of us on a daily basis to make purpose, on purpose, give God quality time. Get in the Word. Whatever God has given, the promise that God has given to you, I want you to be get in the Word and find scriptural references to what God has told you. And then I want you to just speak those out of your mouth. I want you to deliberately speak those out of your mouth. I want you to thank God for the promise being fulfilled before you even see the manifestation of it. And then it's going to take sweat equity. You know what? Equity. You know what? Lazy people don't get what successful people get. Successful people take the time to show that they're really serious about what they really want. So guess what? You know what? You may not be able to watch an episode of I Love Lucy. You might have to miss it. But guess what? That 30 minutes, instead of watching I Love Lucy, get in the Word of God and find the promises that has concerning the dream that He's given you. And then find scripture for it and start confessing those scripture. Speak it out. Speak it out. Speak it out. Speak it out. Did you know this? That Jesus said that if they don't praise me, the very rocks will cry out. The very rocks will cry out. Now a rock is an inanimate object, but guess what? The rocks will cry out if we've refused to cry, speak God's glory. Amen. The rock, these buildings, when it was being framed, I'm sure they had contractors in here that didn't know the Lord, and maybe one of the contractors might have hit his finger on a hammer when he was, you know, when he was drilling. Guess what? He may have spoken an ungodly word. Guess what? I negate those words. I speak the love of God in this house. This is a house of prayer. And anything that's contrary to it, I come against it right now by the blood of Jesus. In fact, I consecrate this house. I consecrate this house. I anoint the portals of this house. And I declare this is the house of the Lord. And only the peace of God should be here. When people come through this house, they'll sense the peace of God. Because words of peace will be spoken here. Words of peace will be spoken here. They'll sense the very love and the presence of the God, the glory of God is in this house. And that's what I speak. I speak. I don't know what happened to these contractors, what they said, but the words, every negative outer word that does not line up with the word, I cancel those assignment against this house. Praise God. And that's what we gotta do. We gotta do. That apartment that you lived in, you don't know who built it and what words were spoken, but you gotta take authority over that. That's your domain. That's your domain. That's your domain. That's your part of heaven. And you gotta speak over that life to that situation. You gotta speak life. Everybody comes in the house, you speak that apartment, they'll feel the glory of God. They'll feel a peace of God. They'll sense the peace of God. And they'll be transformed. They'll be changed. And see, you're a commanding communicator. You got to deliberately do that. You got to deliberately do what you haven't done before. You got to deliberately do. You got to change some things. Ever since Wednesday, I've been walking at least a mile. I've been walking at least a mile. Now, did I want to walk on a mile? No, I didn't want to walk on a mile. But I know that if I want different results, I got to do something that I haven't done before. So I got up and I said, D, we're going to go for a walk. Now D, with his mentality and his character and everything, I said, D, we're going to go for a walk. You know what D said? Yeah, okay. And D put his tennis and he went walking. He went walking. But guess what? Thursday, y'all had Bible study. I could have took a break. But guess what? I said, no. I'm doing something that I got to do something different than what I did before. I want to be in good health. I want the blood to flow from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. And guess what? In order for that to happen, I got to speak to this body and say, body, we alive. We're not dead. Organs, every cell, every organ, every tissue, you're alive with the power of God. The very power of God resonates. It resonates in this body. Hey! You know what? We speak. We speak, we speak, we speak. Even the ceiling that heard that, you know, amen. I speak life to my life, amen. Praise God. And that's what we got to do. It may not make sense, but guess what? We're activating spiritual law. When we speak the word of God, we're activating spiritual law into existence, amen. We're commanding communicators. We're commanding communicators. Say, I'm a commanding communicator. I'm just like my daddy. My daddy wanted a world. And he spoke into existence. I want a world framed according to the destiny my daddy has given me. So I'm going to command the world to come into existence. I'm not going to wait until it's put on my lap. But if I labor, I'm going to labor to enter into his rest. I'm just going to rest on my daddy's breast. You know why? Because my daddy said I can have it. And he's a good daddy. He's not a liar. He's immutable. He's unchangeable. He changes not. Every good gift comes down from the Father of lights, in which there is no shadow or variance of change. He changes not. If he spoke it, it shall come to pass. So I'm in agreement with my daddy that I have a good life. My family shall be blessed. My descendants shall be mighty upon the earth. I'm not afraid of evil tidings. But I'm trusting in the Most High God. I'm a generous man. I'm a generous woman. I have the compassion of God. I give. And because I lend to the Lord, because I give to the poor, and he shall repay. Praise God. Riches shall be in my house. Praise God. I have more than enough to pay my light bill, to pay my rent, to pay my mortgage. But I have more than enough to bless those that are in need. And I just thank God for that. And from this day forward, there's going to be some changes made. Last night, it was 10:16, and I said, well, you know, I haven't walked. But you know what I said? I said, self, D is not here. Well, guess what? I don't care if D is here or not. We're going to walk. And when I put my tennis shoes on, you know what my body said? Even though I was tired, my body said, oh, we're going for a walk? I said, yeah. And my body said, oh, okay. And my body went with me, and I walked. I walked for over an hour. I walked to Crystal Springs. And I walked back. Then when I came back, I did my push-ups, my sit-ups. Guess what? I'm not trying to conquer Rome in a day. I know that it took me a long time to get to the physical condition I am now. So it's not going to become about overnight. But guess what? I'm taking small steps, one at a time. But every day I'm changing something that I didn't do. I'm doing something that I didn't do. And guess what? When I see the results, when I see people looking at them and say, oh, that goatee is fresh. Guess what? It makes me want to trim it and keep it looking fresh. When people say, man, you look like you, have you lost weight? And yeah, you looking, guess what? Guess what? Praise guarantees repeat performance. It guarantees repeat performance. If you want somebody to do something, you don't nag them. You don't say, well, you know, I told you so and so and so. No, that's not the way to get repeat performance. Here's a good repeat performance. And I got this from Cecilia. You need to take out the trash. Okay, I'm going to take it. You need to take it. And guess what? I'll fall asleep. The trash still ain't taken out. But guess what? Instead of using that tactic, you know what she did? Ooh, baby, you strong. Let me feel your muscle. She said, oh, you strong, baby. And I said, oh, yeah. And she said, now with your strong stuff, just lift up that trash and take it outside. Yeah. I know what she's doing, but guess what? I like it. She praised me about how strong I am. You my man. And guess what? Yeah. I suck my stomach in and walk with a purpose and take that trash out. But see, praise ensures repeat performance. So guess what? Wisdom, amen? Wisdom. Now guess what? You can know how to do something, but not using what you know to do. Is that wisdom? That's foolishness. But wisdom is knowledge applied. Wisdom is knowledge applied. I used to be a master fitness trainer in the Army. When I took my PT, he says, I can show you the records right in there. In fact, I got them right in there. I'll show you when my goal was when I took the PT test to get the highest score possible. You know what that was? 300. And if I didn't get it, it wasn't because I didn't try. I was slacking up some kind of way. But anyway, my goal was to always get 300. When I led PT, you know, I'd be so tired and my stomach would get a cramp in the side. You think I let my soldiers know that? I'd suck it up and keep on running. And guess what? When I, after running, the cramp went away. I got my second win and I was running. I'd run a circle around them. Y'all come on. Y'all keep up with me. Y'all keep. And I didn't let them know that I was hurting about a half mile down the road. But I refused to let them know I was hurt. I walked it out through the pain. And guess what? And they had respect for me. Our soldiers had respect for me. You know why? Because I was a leader. I wouldn't tell them to do something that I wouldn't do myself. So what happens is, you gotta go past the pain. You gotta go past the pain. You gotta go to it hurts. And then you're gonna get different results. So what happened is you realize the word of God is powerful. The words that you speak are powerful. Thank God for Bishop Jakes. Thank God for the Pope. But guess what? I ain't talking about the Pope. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me. Frame my world. So I'm right now literally on purpose. Giving God some time that I meditate on I write the things down, follow them, that God is the promise that God told me, and I'm gonna make sure that they come to pass. I'm gonna speak life over my life. And it'll manifest in the spirit world. It's already there. But it's gonna manifest in the natural world. And then all the haters and the people that didn't believe in me, guess what? They're gonna say, yeah, I knew you was anointed. I knew, yeah, God. Yeah, they're gonna get in agreement when they see it materialize. But what about now? What about now? They hating on you. They don't want you to go above. Some people, you gotta get rid of some people. You know, some people are only there for a season, but you want to hang on to those people that ain't going nowhere, and they're gonna drag you down and keep you down. So guess what? You gotta lose them. Lot was not God, Abraham's son. And it was not God's design to bring Lot to him to the promised land. But he loved his nephew Lot. But Lot pissed his towards Sodom. He didn't have the heart of God. He didn't have the heart of God. God wasn't able to tell him the plan of being a blessing to all the world and the nation of Israel being formed through him until he got rid of Lot. Sometimes you got to get rid of the negative people, people that don't have your best interest. People that ain't going nowhere, but they don't want to see you going nowhere. You got to cut some people loose, even though it hurts. You got to pull out that tooth. You got to pull out that tooth, right? You got to pull it too. Yeah. You got to pull it out because it hurts. It's festering, but yet you're gonna eat you on one side mouth because you don't want to go to the dentist and get that tooth removed. But sometimes you got to pull the tooth. So praise God. I'm going a little bit over time, but I. No. Let me say this. What I said, I want to thank y'all for giving me more time because I'm really over the time, but it was just something that by the Spirit of God I needed to say. No, it's not me. It's the Spirit of God.